Is in John, the first chapter on this Good Shepherd Sunday. John, the 10th chapter. If you want to get out your Bibles underneath your pews, you can find it in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and it's John 10, verses 1 to 10. And Jesus is speaking. He says, "Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way as a thief and a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he's brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run away from him because they do not know the voice of the stranger." Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves and bandits, but the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Well, I've been asking you since Easter Sunday, what difference does it make? What difference does this Easter thing make, this resurrection of Jesus? What difference does that make in our lives? And last week we heard the story about two discouraged disciples and the others. See, they were wandering back to Emmaus, to their hometown, because they were without hope. All their hopes have been disappointed. But then on that road to Emmaus, we hear that Jesus comes seeking them, encountering them. And he rehearses the scriptures to help them remember. And finally, it says, when he broke bread at supper, just like he did at the Last Supper, he was known to them in the breaking of the bread. We talked about how when we let the Bible scriptures sink into our being, when we memorize verses, when we work on letting it be part of ourselves, our very souls, it can be there for you and guide you at critical moments in your life, right? And can make a difference. This resurrection power can make a difference when it's in you. And I told you there was another key way that the resurrection can make a difference, but I ran out of time last week. So here it is, and it's especially clear in this last verse of today's scripture. "I came," Jesus says, "that they may have life and have it," how? "Abundantly." Yeah, in all its fullness. Jesus makes it clear. He came in his death and resurrection to make a difference, see? And this is the thing we learn in our baptism. When we remembered baptism this morning, and we baptized two kids this morning, we learn this: in order to rise with Christ, you have to what? First, die with Christ. Yes, right. And maybe not a literal death, but a dying, for instance, and just one facet of this Easter story for us today, we have to die sometimes to our expectations for how life ought to be. And we have Jesus as a pattern here. He faced the cross, and that's not what he hoped for, I'm sure. I'm sure he would rather have lived a long, healthy life and had a wife and kids and had a nice life and all that. But that was not what had to happen, you know? And so he faced the brutality of the cross, dreaded it, and we were told that in the Garden of Gethsemane, he so dreaded it that he was sweating blood, literally, as he prayed for God to take this cup away from him so it didn't have to happen, right? But it did happen, and instead of resenting and resisting and running away from his identity, he embraced it, right? And embracing it, not only did he go through it, but he was raised to an entirely new plane of existence, risen life entirely. And the same resurrection power is what's available to us. When we're willing to die to our expectations, to live into God's greater expectations for us. You know what? We got a lot of expectations, so this is a tall order for us, a lot of us. You know, I expect today is going to be a good day. Wasn't that a good expectation? Yeah, I hope it is. Good day. I expect I'm going to live a long and healthy life. In fact, I'm a little over halfway now. See, I'm going to live to 120, so there. Well, you know, or, you know, and the kids in our midst, you know, some of you are off to college, some of you are getting ready to for next things in your life, you're thinking about your careers. And I remember when I was a little, I expected, fully expected I was going to be able to become a milkman. That was the thought, the best job ever. Well, I didn't. And then I thought, okay, I'm going to become an international business lawyer, and that'll do it, right? Well, that didn't happen either. God has different things in mind for us than we expect a lot of times, and it ends up being even better than what you had in mind for yourself. But in the meantime, when we have expectations, some great and small ones, some of them get fulfilled, some won't. And when they don't, we can get disappointed, like those disciples on the road. We can even get resentful, and sometimes we get downright miserable and hard to live with, you know? But in the power of the resurrection, the difference that makes, like for the disciples, we are called to die to many of our expectations so that we can make room for God's greater expectations. Now, in order to do that, there's one simple thing we can say in various situations. I'm going to have you repeat after me. I want resurrection power in my life. I want to live in God's abundance. I'm going to embrace what is. There you go. And that's how we get there. With an attitude like that, it's like, God, it isn't what I expected, but I'm going to make the most of what you give me. And again, repeat after me. I want to live in resurrection power. I want to live in God's abundance. I'm going to embrace what is. Good. How many of you know this name? Johnny Erickson Tada. She's a famous, okay, a few of you guys. She's a famous Christian writer, very inspirational woman. And let me tell you a little about her story. At age 17, she was this beautiful young woman, her whole life ahead of her, plans for college and all the rest. And she had this tragic diving accident in Chesapeake Bay and ended up paralyzed from neck down to her feet. They put her into rehab for 2 years, and the most they could get out of her in terms of recovery was a little bit of movement in her left arm, just a little bit. And, you know, it wasn't what she had planned on or what she expected or wanted for life, I can be assured of that. But you know what? She took a way into her life that embraced that thing. Within those 2 years, she learned how to paint, and this is the first thing I heard about her years ago. In the 80s, she learned how to paint with a brush in her teeth. Have you ever seen that? Incredible paintings that she's done. And then she moved on from there. She was like, I'm not going to let this control my life. I'm going to live my life fully as God gives it to me to live. And eventually she learned with a little joystick that they were able to use on her hand. They tied her hand to a joystick. She was able to drive a van, start it, stop it, steer it, the whole bit. And she had this incredible, incredible freedom of movement that she hadn't had before, you know. So one day after she was, you know, checked out okay to drive, she said, I want to go get some fast food, you know. And so she drove in. She thought, oh, I don't know how this is going to go because I've never done this. But she drove into the lane where you order the food, right? And she, and there was a guy on the thing, may I help you? And she said, yes. And she ordered her food. And she says, no, I'm a little handicapped. I'm going to need your help. And the guy says, oh, okay, come on. So he came forward, and this young teenage guy and his buddy were behind the in the window there. And here she is, and she's, you know, got her hand strapped to this little thing. And he says, oh, can I get your money, please? She said, I told you I'm a little handicapped. You're going to have to reach in here. There's some money strapped to my hand here. Could you come and just reach in here? And he's a little embarrassed, and he kind of does it. And then she said, could you put the change in my bag? And they were so nice, they folded it up in a napkin so it wouldn't affect the food and put it in the bottom, and then put the food in, and then he put the bag out the window like this here, and she says, remember, I need a little help here. And they all laughed a little bit, and then so he says, oh yeah, she says, just lean it, put it inside the door against my arm, and that'll be just fine. So they do that, and then she says, thanks, you did so well. And the guy just brimmed with with a smile, and he said, "Oh, thank you." And then he was going to try and give her a high five for how good she'd done. And whoops, that didn't work either. So he gave a high five on her truck, you know, just on the top of the van, and drove away. But she said, as I drove away, this is just one of those little snippets of life in her life. She said, I was so grateful. I gave a prayer of gratitude for those guys because they were so compassionate to help me. And secondly, I gave a thanks that I was handicapped because I gave them the chance to be compassionate. Isn't that interesting? I gave thanks for being handicapped. You hear that? Embracing what is, that leads to resurrection power in our lives. There. You know, she's done a bunch of other stuff. Her organization, if you want to look it up, it's Johnny, but it's J-O-N-I and friends.org. They do retreats for families with disabilities, and they do Wounded Warrior retreats as well. In fact, there was one just over in San Antonio last weekend, and there's going to be a Families with Disabilities retreat right up at Camp Allen in Navasota in June, and they're always looking for volunteers to help families that have needs to help their people move around. So just look it up, johnnyandfriends.org. It's just an incredible ministry that they have going on. So anyway, that's going on all the time. Because what? Because she embraced what is in the resurrection power of Jesus. That's why. So what about us? Are we going to, today, be miserable and resent things that aren't to our liking, that disappoint us? Or are we going to embrace what is? You know? And in so doing, live into God's resurrection power, God's greater expectations, God's abundance for us, so that we could rise to this new way of life. I came, Jesus says, that you may have life and have it in abundance. That's the risen Jesus speaking to us. So repeat after me. I want to live in resurrection power. I want to live in God's